T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're here standing in front of the Great Northern Grain Elevator. Obviously tomorrow there's a pretty big decision that's coming up in the legal case. Can you just update us as to what exactly tomorrow entails?
Sure. Well, you know, what happens is that the respondents, that would be the City of Buffalo, which issued an emergency demolition order back on December 17th, and the owner of the building, Archer Daniels Midland, or ADM, they have to respond to the judge's decision back on July 5th to lift a temporary restraining order and allow the demolition of the elevator. So of course we can only expect, since the city and ADM has been pining for 30 years to take it down, they're of course going to concur with the judge's decision. We obviously feel the judge erred yet again. We will ask the judge for an injunction. Me personally, it's unlikely to imagine the judge, having decided against us twice and for the city twice, would change his mind. We're hopeful, ever hopeful. I don't think he nor anyone else obviously sees the probability of this building falling anywhere near what they claim in court. It just isn't. I mean, here we are, by the way, we're doing this interview on the CSX rail line right in front of the Great Northern. You know, we're looking at bathrooms. Johnny's on the spot. We're looking at a fuel tank that has appeared here in the last week that's directly under the Great Northern Elevator's east wall. And the city claimed in court, the fire commissioner and experts by ADM, that, well, it's a danger to people on Ganson Street. And I see absolutely no provision by the city or ADM which would indicate that this Ganson Street is anything but in a normal situation. They're claiming a cafe across the street. The customers are in danger. The staff is in danger. Well, that hasn't stopped the company from operating, and the city also, again, has not provided any protection with what they say in court is an imminent danger to the public. A couple weeks ago, I was on a boat in the shadow of the elevator, taking photographs of the elevator. I kayaked up to it. And in fact, in the last week, there was a 660-foot Great Lakes grain freighter docked at that elevator. They're clearly not worried about the probability of this building falling. They're not. So there's a lot of legalisms going on that hopefully if, you know, the local judge is unconvinced of the ability of the Great Northern to stand for another 125 years, the appeals court in Rochester will find, in fact, that the evidence suggests, as well as the fact that the elevator is standing there today, 9 months after a section of the north wall came down, that the building itself isn't in jeopardy.
Yep. Yeah, no, and I mean, obviously looking at it, aside from the big giant hole in the wall and bricks on the ground, what is your understanding of the status of the building? I mean, it looks like nothing really much more has fallen from the original hole that was made, but what is the understanding from the people that you've talked with and that have assessed this damage and everything else, that the condition of the building, what is it?
Yeah, well, in fact, number one, let me say that we're heartened by the outpouring of support, not only from professional engineers, architects, architectural historians, but from union workers, from our state elected delegation that's come out in favor of saving the building. The only thing our two local congressmen can agree on, apparently, is Chris Jacobs and Brian Higgins, is that the Great Northern is valuable and should be saved. So we've had great community support on that. And during this entire process, whether it's subsequent winter storms that we had, after December 11th, we had one storm which featured steady 40-mile-an-hour winds and dropped 18 inches of snow here. Nothing happened to the building. Spring storms, nothing happened to the building. We're standing here today, and this is right now one of the most photographed holes, I think, in Western New York. We haven't been able to detect any change since December 11th. And again, I think the Library of Congress, the Historic American Engineering Record, their documentation and their analysis of the structure of this building, as well as photographs, historic photographs of the construction, which we just uncovered this week, show that the steel bins of that elevator, the steel frame, are in excellent condition. They are performing today, 125 years after construction, as they were designed to do. They are holding this building up. It's built like a tank, and it is not coming down.
Now, we see some of the construction equipment out here, whether it be for just surrounding projects or whatever, or whether or not ADM is actually preparing to get ready for a possible demolition. Is there concern from your guys' standpoint that once tomorrow comes that there's any sort of demolition that's going to start, or are you confident that it could be prolonged a little bit more and that the fight for this building can continue on until hopefully the end goal for your guys' sake would be that it's saved?
Yeah, well, first, we're confident that we will get an injunction to stop any demolition. What we can see here is obviously preparations for demolition. During the last week, we've seen equipment come onto the site, clearly demolition equipment. We've seen, despite the testimony that everyone is in imminent danger of death from falling walls, ADM in fact instructed its contractors to rip down the railroad shed along Ganson Street, and they use this equipment to tear it from the wall. Now, if they're afraid of the wall falling, what are they doing anywhere near it, let alone getting mechanical equipment ripping stuff off the wall? So I think that belies their testimony and their statements over the past 9 months that there's some imminent danger. They obviously don't think that their own employees and contractors are in danger. And as we can see, you know, they don't think that there's a high probability that the public is going to be harmed either. So to us, it's a farce. We think the appeals court will understand that it's a farce. And the fact that it's standing without any noticeable change for the last 9 months, and they're allowing shipping and recreational boating to literally go right next to the elevator, they really don't have a practical concern.
I know you said that you are humbled by contractors and union workers and other experts saying that this building could be saved and everything, but I was here, I think, a couple weeks ago and talking to the public and getting their opinion as to whether or not the building should be saved, and I'd say a large number of people said it should be saved. It's a historical piece, and you know, there's options that could be fixed up. Just what does it mean to you to hear that from the public as well, where people are saying this building can be saved?
You know, it's really heartening because Buffalo is one of the few places in the country where the man and woman on the street has some knowledge. Not only, yeah, we got buildings by Frank Lloyd Wright or Louis Sullivan or H.H. Richardson, they're aware of the legacy of these grain elevators. They understand that there's no other place on earth with a collection of elevators such as we have here on Kelly Island or further up the Buffalo River. So they appreciate it. Many of the people here, of course, have family who were grain scoopers, parts of the unionized workforce here at whether it was the Great Northern, formerly the Pillsbury Mill, or General Mills, where today millions of boxes per week of Lucky Charms and Cheerios are made for the country. So everyone really appreciates it. And that's heartening because you can't go across the country and have an intelligent conversation about industrial architecture with a citizen in too many cities. You can do it right here in Buffalo. They know it. And in fact, you have this, it's really amazing. You have an entire tourist infrastructure that's based, in fact, on giving boat trips up and down these canyons of grain elevators to let people know about this legacy. And, you know, people do know that this is the last remaining brick box elevator in the country. They know that Ganson Street's the first street in the world to be powered with alternating current electricity. They know that this was the first electrically powered elevator. They know that when we look at the shape of elevators today, they're big round cylinders standing in ranks hundreds of feet long. That started with the steel grain bins of the Great Northern. So they know the history, they know the value, and believe me, they're aware of the potential for this, for recreation. You know, 400 feet on the city ship canal, 400 feet along Ganson Street. Boy, you can imagine that canopy being rebuilt, a tremendous porch. You have doorways. You could literally have dozens of shops, what have you, on the ground floor. And that wonderful cupola at the top, that looks to me a lot like a four-story high, 400-foot long apartment building waiting to happen.
Just obviously looking, you know, in the current state that it's in, some people did also bring up the fact where it's just like, I don't know how much money it would cost to be able to fix up something like this, a very tall structure, yep. Very long structure. Just, I don't know who you've talked to or who maybe have brought it up to you, but has there been any sort of a cost projection with today's industry in terms of just what it would take to maybe be able to cover up the hole, revitalize the outside of it, and then turn it into something much more than it is?
Yeah, well you know, it's difficult without being allowed inside to do a thorough estimate, but what you do at this point is to make back of the envelope estimates. We know, of course, this isn't the first time a giant hole has appeared in the Great Northern. 10 years after it was built, the greatest storm in Buffalo history caused a lot of damage. It overflowed Kelly Island here. And during that storm, the south wall of the elevator had almost a mirror image damage. It was totally repaired as soon as weather allowed by May of 1907. So the damage in January of that year, and by May it was buttoned up. You can go look there. It's exactly the way it was fixed in 1907. So we know the repairs can be done. We know ADM is one of the largest agricultural corporations on planet Earth. Believe me, they have money. But even if, for example, the public were to, in the body of the state government, buy this for a state park and then figure out, you know, a public-private partnership that allows the public access to it while private uses occur there. It has been estimated, the developer Rocco Termini did a quick calculation. It is a local landmark. It is eligible for the national and state registers. That means you can get tax credits. And he said, well, just for sake of argument, say it's gonna cost $20 million to fix the entire envelope, fix the top, you know, fix whatever may be necessary on the bottom and do some, you know, adaptive reuse, let's say $20 million. And then you do the math with the various tax credits you can have over a span of years. And then finally, at the end of the day, after you've taken all your tax credits, you can donate it to a nonprofit, such as the Campaign for Greater Buffalo. I'd be happy for us to take it over, or set up your own nonprofit, or of course, give it over to the state. At the end of the day, you recover 94% of the stabilization and renovation cost. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we're hopeful. And, you know, a lot of people have come up to us with ideas of what this could be after the public gains control of the property.
And last thing I'll ask you is just an update in terms of the letter you sent to Governor Hochul. Right after that decision was made, you sent the letter out hoping that they would, you know, be inclined to maybe purchase the Great Northern, purchase the property that it's on, and then make it into a state park. Have you heard anything from the governor's office regarding
that? No. We know that some discussion occurred. You can imagine it's a bit of a complicated endeavor figuring out how this is going to work. So we haven't heard anything back directly, but we're not discouraged. And we think, given the fact that also concurrently, Brian Higgins has funded a study for a pedestrian bridge just south of here over the city ship canal, which would connect with the Buffalo Harbor. I mean, as we're standing here, we can see this 200-acre green patch on Lake Erie. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could just walk literally from here and be on the other bank at the Outer Harbor in less than 5 minutes. And that would be today, you know, if you're riding your bike, you're going an 8 mile round trip to the Outer Harbor. Boy, this would be, man, you're like right downtown and zip right across. You know, you can go and have a waffle at the coffee house here and be back in the park in 5 minutes. Or, you know, just imagine again looking at this Great Northern, all the opportunities for retail, commercial activity. The union said they want their offices in there, so this could really be a waterfront hub. And in fact, it can employ more people than the mill itself. Right now, that mill operates in three shifts, 20 people per shift. It's so automated, you can produce a lot of flour with very little employment. So there's no question that the Great Northern Grain Elevator adapted can employ more people than the flour mill does currently.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.